Joshua chapter 1, and we're going to work through a few scriptures in Joshua chapter 1, and believe God for his word for our hearts today, Joshua chapter 1. We've been in the book of Joshua for a number of weeks, and also in Genesis, just looking at how to walk into endless victory that has been promised to us. Thank you, Lord. And in light of that promise, understanding what is required in order to have it, we should be walking in endless victory in our lives as children of God. And this book really lays out some of the requirements that are necessary for that. Joshua chapter 1. Amen. Joshua chapter 1. Burdens will be lifted in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It says, now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. And then what are his next words to Joshua? Now do what? Get up, rise, go over this Jordan, right? Thou and all this people into the land which I do give to them. And just so you're sure about who's going to get it, even to who? The children of Israel. Now, interesting, let's pause and look at this. One, God says now, verse number two, Moses, my servant, is dead, right? If you go back to Deuteronomy chapter 34, looking at verse number 8, let's go Deuteronomy 34, just a page back. What happened, Moses died in chapter 34, verse number 5. The Bible lets you know that God and Moses, the discussion, and God said, okay, Moses, you're going to die. You're going to go up on the mountain, and you're going to die. And then after Moses died in verse number 5, according to the word of the Lord, he buried him in the valley. Who buried him? God, right? Moses died, and then God buried Moses in the valley. Interesting that in God's plan, he buried Moses and continued with his agenda. I want you to understand that. Then, after he was buried, nobody could find his sepulcher to this day. And we know later some things that God did with Moses. Verse 7, he was 120 years old, didn't need glasses, amen? Had the strength of a 20-year-old, right? And verse number 8, the children of Israel wept for Moses in the plain of Moab 30 days, so the days of weeping and mourning for Moses were ended. Do you see that? This is not quite in my sermon, but I haven't found a good place to say this. One of the ways we grieve as an African-American community and as Americans is horrible in terms of being healthy. At most of our funerals, we spend more time dressing up than we do grieving. We put on a show for people. We have to have the cars. We have to have the nice this, the nice that. More of a show for people. And a lot of people come to funerals concerned about who they meet and not about the pain that's on the life of the family. That's why when we get outside, when we walk outside the funeral, every time we have to tell people, be quiet, respect the family. And some families will literally say, put everybody out and let us grieve by ourselves, because we would be crying over a loved one, and they're out there laughing and joking, making business deals as if that person didn't matter to them. Interesting here that for 30 days they wept and cried for Moses. And I believe that if we did our grieving more like that, where we would have intense times of crying and grief, where it was known and acceptable and expected that somebody died in your family life and you were crying and grieving and not wanting to move, not wanting to shave, not wanting to shower, not wanting to sit at the dinner table, not wanting to get out of the bed. I mean, really going at it in a more healthy way, and even the family and everybody recognizing that's what you do, where you don't have to hide your grief. Because the way we do it now, we want you to hurry up and get over, because we're trying to make a business deal. We started the business deal at the funeral. You follow? So we need you to hurry up and get over your grief so we can go on with our life. And it's very unhealthy. Very, very unhealthy. So families play games. They act like they're not in pain. Whereas here, the pain was out in the open. They openly cried and mourned for Moses a solid 30 days, and God stopped his agenda to let them grieve and mourn. Rather than that foolishness, you know, people get up in your face at a funeral and say, you shouldn't be crying, you know. You shouldn't be doing this. You ought to be happy they lived. Moses was 120 years, you know, and they were crying, amen. So if anybody in your family dies under 120, amen. Amen. Come on. You have permission from God to stop what you were doing and grieve and mourn and deal with those emotions rather than stuffing them down. Amen. So they were grieving and mourning for Moses a set time. And by the way, there's some other things you should study in Jewish culture that they still do right. Some things they do wrong. But one of the things, after the funeral, they're not allowed to go back there for a period of time to the gravesite. To let it sink in their mind, the person is not really there. The memories are here. I need to grieve the loss. Something has permanently changed. It would not be going back again, right? Now, my sermon is not about death, but I just wanted to raise that because God is recognizing here, Moses, we've been walking together. I put him to rest, right? God buries him, right? Then he says to Joshua in chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, now the Lord speaks again. Interesting that God didn't speak during the mourning time. Anybody here really suffering with grief, very often you don't want to talk to God. That's an untold secret, amen, that happens when somebody has a loved one and their family die. They don't want to talk to God because God didn't raise them up. You follow what I'm saying? They don't want to deal with that, the other issues that surface as a result of that. But after this, God came along to speak to Joshua. And verse number 2, God said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Do you see that? My servant Moses is dead. So God is recognizing that I had a loss also. Do you see that? Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, Joshua, I need you to do what? I need you to what? I need you to get up. Amen. My servant Moses is dead. I need you to get up and I need you to go over this Jordan. Which Jordan is he talking about? The Jordan River he was looking at that God is saying, and notice the word God said, I need you to get up and go over this Jordan. Which Jordan? That one over there that's in flood stage. That one over there, nobody's crossing now because this is not the time to go across. This is harvest time. So you're looking at a flood where it's impossible. I need you, listen, I need you to get up and go and do something that is impossible. God said, I need you to get up and go over this Jordan. I want you to go over. And the next statement is, and all this people say, everybody. I want you to get up and go over something that is impossible to get over, and I want you to make sure every one of the people get over. I have plans for all of them, and I want you to take them into a land which I does what? I have given them a land. Stay with me. God is saying, Joshua, get up. Okay, I'm up. What do you want me to do? I want you to go and do something that's impossible for you to do. And I want you to take everybody to a place, to a land I have given them. I want you to take them there. You got it? And I have something for all of them. Somebody say all of them. Then God says, here's the rules. Every place the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that I have given unto you. What would you do if God stepped in here and said, we're going to have a divine shopping spree. Every store you can touch in the next 20 minutes, I have given that store to you. Which way would you start running? Amen. I'd be heading to Beverly Hills. Amen. I'd jump in the car. Amen. Amen. I would email people, amen. I would send clothes all over the place. God, that's mine because I touched it. I would get shoes and have them going everywhere, amen. Listen, he's saying everywhere your foot shall tread, I have given. Not that I'm going to. I have already given it to you. Isn't that what it says? As I said to Moses, then he maps out the territory, right? All of these people, I got a plan for them. I can help everybody who is willing to get up and get going. Then I outlined the land, right? From the wilderness of this Lebanon, even to the great river, the river Euphrates, the land of the Hittites, under the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, I'm in verse 4, shall be your coast. Number 5, here's another rule. There shall not be what? Any man able to stand before you all the what? So God is saying, I want you to go forth. And as you go forth, one of the things, everywhere you step, I've already given it to you, right? And then anybody facing you in battle, they won't be able to stand in front of you. They're going to fall, right? All of the giants will fall, right? As long as you live. As I was with who, everyone? Moses, so I will be with you. I will not fail you. And what is the next statement? Whoa. What? Now follow what's happening here. God is giving a speech, right? Now he says in verse number 6, what is it I need you to do? I need you to do what? I need you to be what? Strong. And I need you to be of a what? Why? Think about it with me. God is saying, I want you to know, I'm going to be with you, right? Isn't that what God says? Come on, saints, stay with me. What did God say? I'm going to be with you. God said, I'm going to never leave you. God said, every place you step, I have already done what? I've already given it to you. What else did God say? Not only have I already given it to you, but I'm making sure that you will not fail. I won't fail you. I won't forsake you. So he's saying to Joshua, everywhere you step, I've already given it to you. Nobody will be able to stand in front of you, right? All of these things will be happening. You're going to cross over. Everybody's going to get by. But you need to be strong. Why are you telling me that? You need to be of a good courage. Why are you telling me that? You are going to divide the inheritance in verse number 6 of the land which I swear to their fathers to give to them. Somebody say them. Verse number 7, but in order for it to happen, stay with me. Verse number 7, what do I need you to do? I need you to be what, everybody? Oh, and I said everybody. I need you to be what, everybody? Strong and what? Very courageous. The first time I say I need you to be strong and I need you to be of a good courage. Now I tell you, only be thou what? Strong and what? Very courageous to observe everything that I tell you, right? According to the law, Moses, my servant, don't go to the right hand nor to the left, that you may prosper what? Wherever you go. Verse number 8, this book of the law shall not do what? Depart out of your mouth, but you're going to do what? You're going to meditate day and night that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. Joshua 1 verse 8. Then what will happen? Thou shalt do what, everybody? Come on, you all are not with me. Verse number 8. Then thou shalt do what, everyone? You're going to make your way prosperous, and then you're going to have what? Come on, somebody remind me to preach about that when I get back to that verse. Amen? And then God said, have I not done what? I have what? I have what? How many times have I commanded you now? This is the third time. Are you listening to me? Jesus, help me get it. This is the third time God is saying, I tell you one time I'm going to be with you. I tell you, get over in an impossible situation. I tell you that everybody is going to make it. I tell you to keep my word in your mouth. But three times I tell you to be strong and be very courageous, right? Be strong. Don't be afraid. Does he say that in verse number 9? Be not afraid, right? What else did he say? Be not dismayed. Don't get confused. For the Lord your God is what, everybody? Huh? The Lord your God is what, everybody? With you wheresoever you go. Did you notice what happened here? Let's back up and look at this again. You ready? Okay. Anybody ready? Let's look at it again. I'm going to something in a minute. I'm trying to lay the foundation. I want you to see it. Here's God talking. He knows how to get me ready for endless victory, right? Moses, my servant, is dead. I got that, Lord. Get up. I get up. Okay. I want you to go over this Jordan. Which Jordan? The Jordan that's at what stage? Flood stage. So it's impossible for you to get across, but I want you to go across there. How many of these people are you going to take? all of them, and he said, because I promised it to their fathers, so I'm dealing with the children of a rebellious adult population. I am dealing with baby's kids, isn't that right? Because if mama ain't right and daddy ain't right, surely very seldom will the children be okay. You can testify with me. I told you that before. You can almost look at a child, child by child, and notice which ones are getting proper instruction from mama and daddy. They don't even have to open their mouth. You can almost look at them and notice the difference. So here, Joshua, you're dealing with the children of people who would not obey me. And I'm promising you that if you do what I tell you, how many of them are going to make it? You didn't hear me. You didn't hear me. All of them. And then he said, don't let the book of the law come out of your mouth. Amen. Make sure you do it. Okay, here's the question I was going to raise. Let's go to verse number 8 of Joshua chapter 1. And let's start working on this before I get to what I really want to say. What does he say in verse number 8? This book of the law shall not do what? What does that mean? Huh? Don't stop saying it. Keep speaking it. Whenever you open your mouth, what should come out of your mouth? The word of God. Watch this. And he says, if you do this, then you will make your way prosperous. Are you ready? Who makes you prosperous? Let's back up again. God comes along. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to make sure everybody gets over. God comes along and says, you make sure my word is in. Whenever you open up your mouth, make sure my word is coming out. If you make sure my word is coming out, who is making you prosperous? God comes along. He talks to you. And he said, hey, you, get up. She gets up, right? And then, amen. Amen. So he said, I want you to do something that's impossible. I don't want you to be afraid, right? I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't even want you to be dismayed. I'm going to say something in a moment about that. I don't want nothing to bother you. I'm going to tell you three times. I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be hanging with you. But you make sure every time you open your mouth, my word comes out. And if you make sure every time you open your mouth, my word comes out, you will make yourself prosperous. So who makes you prosper? Let's do it again. I'm making a point here. Because God is not going to do your business. That's why there's a lot of people who love Jesus and have nothing going on. Because they are not making their way prosperous. God got Joshua. He said, Joshua, go across. I'm willing to go across. Now you make it happen. Every time you open your mouth, Lord Jesus, my word has to be coming out. But my word will not be coming out if you haven't been eating my word, if you haven't been meditating on my word, if you haven't been learning my word. What will come out of your mouth? What you have seen, what you have felt, and what you have heard. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by any word. Not just the word of God. Anything you hear builds up faith in you. One word will change your whole experience. You want to see it? Let's say you all didn't know this about Pete. Pete is actually a multi-millionaire. No, really, he is. He's been hiding, you know, up in church. Didn't want anybody to know about it. Now that we know that about Pete, look at Pete again. Just a word would change. It would change how we treat Pete. Some of us were clowning Pete. Amen. Amen. Have to treat him differently just based on a word. That one word changed the whole thing. God says, listen, you got to make sure. Let me ask again. Who makes your way prosperous? That's my second point. Or not. Who is responsible for your success? Who then is responsible for your failure? Last question, then I got to go back to my sermon. Because some of you look nervous, amen. If you are going in the direction of failure, and I'm going to say something strange about that in a minute, whose fault is it? I got to ask one more question, amen. Is God responsible to show you how to succeed? And if he's responsible to show you how to succeed, is God also responsible to make sure you succeed? Then who is responsible? Once God shows you and gives you the power, then who is responsible? Huh? Okay, you ready? In this text, we're talking about Joshua. Somebody say Joshua. But you are not Joshua. Amen. You are not facing a river, but you have problems. Listen, God wants to help you. God wants to guide you. So you're looking for a job. You need healing in your body. Anybody need healing in their body? You need deliverance from bad friends. Anybody got bad friends? You got a messed up past. You need deliverance from a messed up past. How does the text apply to you? I believe the text is saying that God is commanding you, somebody say commanding you, to do your part so he can give you what he's already given you. But if you don't do your part, what he has given you, you will never apply and have it in your life. God is saying everywhere you step, you are not getting it. I gave it to you before you get there, even though it's occupied by your enemies. In order for God to give you what you've already been given, you have to do your part in order to receive what is rightfully yours. Which means when I don't have what is rightfully mine, whose fault is it? You have to step up. Somebody say step up. And do your part, because Moses is no longer here to do what Moses would have done for you. Your mother and father, the person you're depending on, they're not able to take you where you need to go. Amen. In order for you to make progress now, you got to depend on God and understand that God will give you the instructions, but who has to follow them out? You or God? Huh? You got to follow them out, right? So let's back up again. Moses, my servant, is dead, right? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the what? Death of his saints. God buried Moses, right? Later we know what happened in the New Testament. He had to be resurrected in order to hang out with Jesus, amen? Because Jesus doesn't just hang out with ghosts, amen? Amen. So he gives you time to grieve, to deal with the loss of somebody you cannot replace. God does not make Joshua Moses. God makes Joshua a better Joshua. He lets Joshua know, I'm aware of the loss in your life. And in honor of their life and respect of their death, it's time for you to get up and get involved in your assignment. Before your loved one died, they were trying to get people saved. And now you are the one on the scene and you need to step up. You ready? Now I'm going to start preaching. Doesn't it seem strange to you that God would tell Joshua to be strong? Don't be dismayed. Just trust me. Doesn't it seem strange that God would have to say that with all of these people? Doesn't it seem strange that God has to say something like that to you? You believed him for salvation, but won't believe him for healing. Isn't it strange that God would have to keep repeating that? Why is God saying that to Joshua? Are you all with me? Watch this. Why would you have to tell me not to be discouraged when I was there when you delivered the children of Israel? I was there. When the death angel passed over, was Joshua there? When the plagues were taking place, was Joshua there? Okay, one or two, yes. Amen. Was Joshua there? Listen, when Israel walked across on dry ground, yes or no? When Moses brought water from a rock, was Joshua hanging around, yes or no? Huh? Was Joshua there to know that God was able to send them food from heaven's grocery store 40 years in the wilderness, letting manna fall on them? Was Joshua there? So why would God have to tell Joshua, then don't be afraid now that you are the leader? Why would God have to tell Joshua, don't you be dismayed now that you are the leader? See, Joshua not only knew the good stuff, but Joshua also knew the bad stuff. Amen. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 13. I'm going to break it down. I'm talking about you, even though I'm talking about Joshua, and I want you to get something. You know what I really want to say? God has to fix your mind in order for you to do what he wants done. Because if God doesn't change your mind, you won't be able to do it. And sometimes in order for God to change your mind, he has to wreck your mind and change the stuff you got caught up in there. Go to Numbers chapter 13. Numbers chapter 13. Look at verse number 30. I want you to see this. Numbers 13. Look at verse number 30. Do you have it? All right. Caleb stilled the people before Moses. Do you see that? And they were talking about, you know the situation, they were going to go up and take the promised land, right? Help me say something about that too, Lord. Caleb still said, let's go up at once and do what? Possess it. Because what? We are well able to do what? Overcome. But the men that went with him said, we are not able to go up against the people, for they're stronger than we. 32. And what did they do? They brought up a what? They brought up an evil report, right? Now, who were these men? These were men. Had they seen God do miracles? Had they seen the water from the rock, the manna, all of that kind of stuff? Had they seen all those things? Okay, so they seen what God was able to do, right? They started lying, right? And they lied about the land. And 32, they talked about the giants. They said how we are grasshoppers, right? Look at chapter 14. What happens now after the evil report went out? What happened? Then how much of the congregation? Are you listening to me? After that, how many of the saints began to cry? So there was not much faith in the hearts of the saints that God had given them what he had promised. Because one evil report, what happened to the saints? All the congregation lifted up their voice and cried. And what did the people do all night? Can you imagine that? Your neighbor crying all night. Verse number 2. And then what? All of the children of Israel did what? Okay, so I've cried for a while. Now there's a shift in my crying. Now I'm upset with Moses and Aaron. And the what? Whole congregation said unto them, would to God that we had done what? Died in the wilderness. So, okay, you're talking about stuff. That's fine. And verse number 3. And wherefore hath the Lord brought us unto this land to fall by the sword? So far, they're just talking. Verse number 4. They said to one another, let us make a captain. Let's return to Egypt. So far, they're just talking. They're going to leave us alone. Verse number 5. What happened when the man of God began to make a change? Moses and Aaron did what? They fell on their face before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But what did Joshua do? Joshua, the son of Nun, he was there. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land. They did what? They started tearing their clothes. And then what did they do? They tried to steal the, hey, hold on. We can do it. We can do it. That's what verse number 7 is saying, right? God has given it to us. We can do it. Verse number 8. If the Lord does what, everybody? Delights in us, then he would do what? God would do what? Bring us into the land. Only verse number 9. Don't rebel against the Lord, right? Verse number 10. And what did the congregation do? Instead of worshiping, they started looking for stones. And they said, if you don't shut up, what are we going to do? God had to come down and stop the people from killing Joshua for telling them the word of the Lord. And now Joshua is the new leader of Bebe's kids. Come on. If mama and daddy ain't respecting me, you know they're not teaching their children to respect me. Listen, do you have it now? They're willing to kill him. And what happened? The glory of the Lord had to come. God was the only thing stopping. Now God is saying to Joshua, let's go back to chapter 1 of Joshua. Do you have it now? Chapter 1 of Joshua. Do you understand now what God would tell him? Don't be dismayed. Don't be upset. Don't shift to the left or to the right. Amen. Joshua was there when the people relied on God. Joshua also knew the people were not ready for what God wanted to give them. So God said, don't you be discouraged about that. He knew they were not prepared for what God had laid out. Let me say something strange here now. I believe that the path, somebody say the path, of success and failure go in the same direction, but with a different understanding on the inside. There's one way to look at success and failure, going two different directions. I'm talking about success and failure going in the same direction where the wheat and the tares grow together. The closer we are getting to God, the stronger the saints are. The closer we are getting to God, the bigger the demons are. The same path, the same direction, but something inside of me, listen, is causing me to see it one way, and something inside of the other person on the same path is causing them to see it another way. They're growing together. Listen, God can be a blessing to you. Listen, and in your rebellion, you can turn a blessing into a curse. So God can bring you into the edge of the land I am giving you and get you right there at the edge, and you make your blessing into a curse. The curse becomes a curse because God blessed you to see what I was going to give you. But you're the kind of person, I can't let you see what I'm going to give you, because when you see it, you think you cannot have it because your mind is all messed up. Joshua, don't you be discouraged. Don't you become confused, because you're going to see a whole lot of stuff that ain't right. You're going to get to a river, I'm telling you, to cross, and there's no way to get across it. And you don't have enough boats to get over it. Don't get confused. Don't start tripping. Don't you be dismayed. God had to speak to Joshua about fears. Huh? Because even though Joshua, listen, had seen God work off and on, Joshua also had 40 years of failure that he had seen. Jesus, help me. And you can get so locked into your failure that God cannot break you out, showing you what's yours, saying, I've given it. And all you got to do is get your foot there and make sure the right thing comes out of your mouth. And you're not even able to do that. If Joshua was not careful after watching 40 years of failure, that's why you got to be careful what you watch on TV. That's why they always have something on. Because the devil knows that I can get your mind so wrapped up that when you come to church, you think church is like being in a club. You think when we're praising God, it's nightclub time. No, we're dancing because we're joyful, not because we're trying to party. The praise of the Lord is there. But if Joshua, listen, was not careful, watch this, he would become like the people around him, who God would lay a blessing out in front of, and he could not receive it. So to keep Joshua from messing up, what does God do? I command you, you be strong. You be full of courage. When do you need strength? At the times when you are. So when do you need courage? Yeah.
steps, when you're facing something that is discouraging. So God is saying, in order for you to lead the people where they have to go, I have to lead you through some discouraging circumstances in the minds of the people, but you be strong. And let my word comes out. And if my word comes out, everybody. If you believe that trouble is the only thing you will ever face in life, whenever you see trouble, it will become easier for you to give up, because in your mind, the presence of trouble now means there will be nothing but more trouble later. Because that's in your mind. There are people on earth who see trouble as trouble leading to more trouble. And there are people on earth who see trouble as one step over difficulty that I have to cross over to get to an endless victory. If you have to fall 35 times in order to walk 35,000 steps, if you understand that, you will get through the 35 falls. But if in your mind you see every fall as endless failure, every time you fall, even though you're going in the direction of somebody right beside you, they fall their 35, rejoicing on 34 because it's only one more to go. You fall and you're on 2 and you're giving up, and 35 is your victory. Failure becomes a marker for you so that even later in life, you will consider yourself a failure even when you are succeeding and you're right beside somebody else making it in life. Hear me. When you see failure as only failure, it is no matter now that you are succeeding, because once you've trained your mind, say trained your mind, to think failure, to believe failure, to look for failure. In fact, once you have a failure mindset, you can train yourself to accept nothing but failure, only be comfortable with failure. And you know, fear can get on you so bad, fear can kill you, and nobody ever touch you. You may remember years ago, I told a story about what's the guy's name? The Korean doctor I tell you about up at Weimar. Who? The one up at Remar that I really like. You didn't say you really like him, can't remember his name. Amen. I remember in a minute. Amen. But a great teacher, he tells a story about they're getting a rabbit, and they had the rabbit in the cage, and they brought the rabbit in the house. And while they were leaving to go off to do whatever they're going to do, they put the rabbit by the window in order for the rabbit to be able to look out and have something to look out. He couldn't run free in the house, couldn't run in the yard. Sitting by the window, open up the curtains real nice for the rabbit to be there by the window. And when he came home, the rabbit was shivering and all like that, going into a, you know, conniption fit and everything. And he realized what had happened. The cat on the outside had seen the rabbit on the inside. Somebody say on the inside. And the rabbit, not understanding that there was a shield in between him and the cat. The rabbit not understanding the power of the glass. Even though I see you, you can't get me like you think you can. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. But the cat got at the window and leaped at the rabbit. And the rabbit thought he was going to die and went into a nervous breakdown. Till after a while, he did die of fear in a cage that could not be touched by the cat. Somebody listening to me today has been protected by God, and God has drawn a line all around you. You're underneath his everlasting arms, and the devil is trying to get to you, and boo, and boo. The boogeyman is there, but God says, do not be afraid. I will let you see him, but he can't stand in front of you. Don't you develop that kind of mindset that your failure messes you up. Please hear me, Spirit of Life. What God was telling Joshua is that, listen, those 40 years of watching misfits, listen, was necessary preparation for getting you ready for 40 years of victory, because now we got that madness out of the way. Sometimes God has to lead you around long enough to shake out those who can't handle where he's taking you. And once he's shaking them off, don't you get like them. Stay like you are and believe me for a brand new tomorrow. God comes to Joshua and he said, be strong. What does it mean to be strong? Be courageous. Be firm. Somebody say be firm. On the street we say be hard. You know, little brother on the street trying to be hard. You ever seen somebody trying to be hard? Somebody hit him. He's still there taking it. Amen. Y'all know anything about that? I remember when I turned 18, mama gave me my last whooping. I was hard. Now, you'd understand. The last whooping, switch wouldn't work. She got a broom. Amen. Got the broom and hit me, and I just took it. I shook it off. Amen. She hit me again. I shook that off. I was hard now. Amen. Mama would have needed an ironing board and the iron. Amen. But nothing was going to change me. Have to drive over me with the car. But my mind would not change. You got to get hard, somebody. Tell your neighbor, get hard. Stop playing around with this thing. Apply it to your life. You got to get loud in your praise and deliberate in your prayer. Hallelujah. The battle is not yours but the Lord's. But God said, let my word come out of your mouth. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to just praise God with me right now and make a joyful noise unto the Lord, who is my strength and my redeemer. Hallelujah. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now here's the other point. Even though God had promised it to Joshua, the promise would not work unless Joshua was willing to use all of his natural abilities. If you study the whole thing on, God gives him in specific instructions, and some things that God does not give in specific instructions. One, he said, okay, I want you to lay it out this way to go into the promised land. But then Joshua sends out spies. God didn't tell him to send out spies, but he's using his wisdom. Are you listening? God set it up that way. The whole land was given, but you can only have what you set your feet on to take. Amen. Now, where were they headed? Where were they headed? Here's another thing I'm trying to say. We usually equate Canaan land with heaven. And if you look carefully in the Bible, Canaan land is not heaven as much as Canaan land is your place of promised rest. Let me say that again. We sing Swing Low, right? Sweet chariot, come for, looked over Jordan, and what did I see? A band of angels coming, you know, because they're going to take me to heaven. Now, biblically, the land over Jordan is not speaking of heaven. Hebrews chapter 3, chapter 4. Canaan is a picture of rest and victory, hear me, that every believer can enter into. That some people resting on the Sabbath haven't entered into rest. They're not trusting God for salvation. In this sense, Canaan land is your promised wealth, your promised victory that you can have as a child of God, or you can stay on this side of Jordan. So Christians can be in the church and some in Canaan land, and the others on the other side of Jordan, because God won't change the river. And the reason why he won't change it is because you got the wrong thing in your mouth. Ah, what must happen to you in order for you to possess it? Number one, you got to be teachable. Are you teachable? Huh? Can anybody teach you anything? Amen. Huh? No. Let's admit it. Some of us need to pray to God, God, help me to be teachable. Because I don't like nobody telling me nothing. Amen. Amen. Be honest about it. Amen. Secondly, are you able to help somebody get theirs? Because it looked at the other group in here is that they had to help the other people fight for their stuff. Amen. Would you ask your neighbor, how long would you fight to help me get my stuff? Oh, no, I'm sorry. That's the wrong question, isn't it? Will you fight to help me get my stuff? Amen. Will you make sure that you don't rip me off while I'm getting my stuff? Amen. Are you the cause of me being dragged down in my spiritual progress? Amen. Ask your neighbor, do I need to get away from you in order to have what God has for me? Hallelujah. Ask it. Go. You want me to ask him for you? Amen. I told you to move. Amen. Some of you stayed in the same seat. Amen. And you're back in the same mindset. Because for you, you're going to go home and not change. Oh, Jesus. I'm going to talk about that one day too. Amen. 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 That's a sermon for another day. I'm going to preach it somewhere. Let's finish. Where were we? Chapter 1, verse 16. I skipped ahead. Friday night, I'm preaching for a house of reconciliation and what's happening with them at Living Hope Baptist Church. And the Lord was giving me that sermon about the change and how long. Most people only change for 2 weeks at the most or so, some a little longer. But there's very little variation in the change. Believe the behavior, not the words. Amen. Okay, that's anyway. So, Joshua chapter 1, verse 16, he talks to the people. I'm finished. He talks to the people. And verse number 17, I want you to get this. The people are talking. They said, okay, whatever you commanded us to do. Do you see where I am? Verse 16. Wherever you send us, we will go. Do you see that? And then the scary part. Do you see the scary part in verse number 17? The scary part in verse 17. What's the scary part? As we did what? Yeah, we're going to listen to you. Amen. Amen. That's why Achan stole the stuff. Yeah, we're going to listen to you about as much as we listen to Moses. Okay. And then what did they say? Only what? Only the Lord thy God be with you. Verse 18. Whoever rebels, they're going to be cut off. And look at the last line. Only be what? Did you get this? That they are now confirming the word of God. Praise team, get ready to come back. They're confirming the word of God. Do you see that? God gave it to Joshua. Joshua ministered the word. Can you give back to me what the Lord gave me to give to you? If you're not able to do that, then we're not ready to cross over. In order for all of us to get over, what has to come out of our mouth? The word of the Lord. Praise team is going to come minister. We're going to worship. I'm going to ask you in a moment to stand and worship and praise God. If you're not required to stand, I want to be very clear about that. We're not into